Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing, bloody murder molesting, running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around, something else is going wrong. Yeah, tell me, what the hell is going on?
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And it is the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. We're podcasting live at the Louisville.am Network Studios here in the Highlands. It's a beautiful day. I tell you, I don't know if you're like me, but I had plenty of weekend. I even had extended a day. I was fortunate enough for working for my company. I had to play in a golf scramble on Tuesday, so actually got my Labor Day weekend extended a little bit. I hope you had as much fun as I did. Just to recap this exciting weekend we had. I went down to Nashville, and as listeners of the Rusty Satellite Show No, when I talked to John Asher last week, we both were pretty confident that the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers were going to take care of UK down there. Boy, what a great experience it was in an NFL stadium, and to see Bobby Petrino's team just basically run roughshod over the Kentucky Wildcats. I talked to a lot of folks down there. I went with another former Rusty Satellite guest, Mark Hebert, and we were pulling for those Hilltoppers with all of our fraternity brothers. And it's going to be a long season for the folks at UK. I think that it's possible that they're going to get better, but their schedule's not going to get any easier. And it will be a long year. But for Western, everything is looking rosy. There's a good chance. It's not inconceivable that they'll beat Tennessee this week to go 2-0 in the Southeastern Conference, as John Asher and I talked about last week. So. I did that. Then I went to Papa John's Cardinal Stadium on Sunday. Watched the dominant Louisville Cardinals with Teddy Bridgewater raising his Heisman hopes even higher. Had a marvelous day in the hot sun. Louisville was rewarded, moving up one more spot in the polls to number 8 from number 9 as a result of the victory over the weekend. And really a good time was had by all. There was nothing negative that happened at the stadium there on Sunday. And then, of course, extended on Monday. If you have never participated in this, you should. And I'll mention it briefly in an interview I have coming up. But the Mayor's Hike and Bike has become quite a great tradition for our city. I joined about 3,000 bikers that went on a 15-mile loop out to the West End, went right through the neighborhood of Portland, and really saw on a beautiful day some wonderful sights. There's some great architecture along the way, and some wonderful sights to see. A part of town that a lot of people don't ever go to or see. So I think it's just amazing the way the event has grown. It started with Jerry Abramson. Greg Fisher's added to it with he's got paddling and yoga and all kinds of activities. And, I got my free T-shirt, courtesy of the city and the sponsors of the event. So that was an outstanding event. And then, of course, Monday I got to go out and hit some golf balls. So back at it here. I'm recording this podcast on Tuesday. And I tell you, I've got a great show lined up. We're making a move toward a sort of a cultural switch this week. My second guest is Kirsty Gockel, who is does the public relations for Actors Theater, which is really celebrating its 50th season. I've been fortunate enough to see a lot of Actors Theater productions. There is a play opening this week that runs through most of September, and Kirsty and I will be talking about that and other things going on at Actors Theater And that's interesting. And of course, I'm really thrilled to be able to welcome my first guest. It's Gil Holland, who, you know, some called him the mayor of Nulu, but he is embarking, as always, it seems, with Gil on a brand new project in the Portland neighborhood. And we're going to talk a little bit about that and some of the other things that Gil is involved in. He's just a wonderful supporter of a lot of different things that are going on here in the city. And amazingly enough, you know, we just did this recording on Wednesday afternoon. We walked out the door and Gil was stopped on the street by Edward Heverin, the young director I raved about last week, who did the Potter's Field documentary. It's a truly outstanding film. And he was just driving down the road, stopped and said hello to Gil. So when we come back, we'll have my interview with Gil Holland.
You love Louisville. You want Louisville when and where you want it? There's something new every day at Louisville.am.
And welcome back to the Rusty Satellite Show. This is Rick Redding, and I'm very honored and pleased to have as my guest a man known, at least in one place, as the mayor of Nulu, Gil Holland. Gil, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Rick.
It's really hard to keep up with you sometimes, Gil. You have so many irons in the fire. I know you're involved in multiple businesses around town. And the green building and the sort of driving force behind green movements in the city. So what do we talk about today? I ask you here because I heard about your movement in Portland. So let's just start with that and tell me a little bit about what's going on in Portland and why you've decided of all places to help Portland grow.
Well, so when I moved to Louisville 7 years ago now, 2005, one of the many things I do when I go to any new place is explore the community. And there's this area of town, kind of the north end of Louisville, or it's in the west end, but it's really everything north of Main Street is Portland. It's one of the oldest, biggest neighborhoods in Louisville, in Jefferson County, and there's a lot of great history there. There's the old Marine Hospital, which is a very historically significant building from 1850. There is the Montgomery School building from 1853. There are, you know, I've been through other buildings in the 1810s and 1820s. There's the Squire Eric House from 1810, the oldest wooden structure in Jefferson County.
And, you know, I noticed because over the Labor Day weekend, we rode our bikes with the mayor through Portland, and I saw a lot of those old buildings. I was especially interested in, and I know you'll get into this, but the news reports I heard, you have an idea for shotgun houses, and there's dozens upon dozens of them in Portland, right?
Right. So, you know, Louisville was built as a manufacturing town, and we were on the river, and the working class built shotgun houses. You know, we never had the big tenement housing that some of the northeastern manufacturing cities did. And after Hurricane Katrina, unfortunately, Louisville now has more shotgun houses than any other city. And, you know, it's a distinct river city kind of, it's part of our cultural heritage. So I really just love shotgun houses in general. And Portland has a lot of them. And there's, unfortunately, there's over 1,400 vacant, abandoned, foreclosed properties in the Portland neighborhood. There's, you know, 10,000 homeless kids in Jefferson County Public Schools. There's 25,000 people on the affordable housing wait list. So it seems like, wow, we have buildings that need a little love. We could employ a lot of people. We could provide housing for a lot of people. And it's, you know, 6 blocks from 21C, the number one hotel in America. Uh-huh. Literally, Portland starts, depending on who you talk to, either at 10th Street, which is 2 blocks from 21C, or at 15th Street. And then goes all the way out to Northwestern Parkway.
Sure.
It's beautiful.
And I know a lot of people, probably a lot of people listening to this podcast, rarely, if ever, venture west of 9th Street. And it's a shame because there's some really beautiful spots over there. Now, I understand you're actually going to move your headquarters and businesses. Tell me how that's going to be and where that's going to be.
Right. So we've been located at the Green Building, which is in some ways the heart of Nulu for the last 5 years now. And we bought this another old building, older than the Green Building, the 1853 Montgomery School building. And we are moving in there in October next month. And so that'll be our kind of new headquarters moving forward. And there's going to be some social innovation startups. There will be some children's Squalls Puppeteers is moving in, some children's entertainment, hopefully the Louisville Children's Museum, hopefully the Louisville Leopards. We will have a lot of kids' activities. Bernheim is putting in a kids' park. It's a great old building, and it's, you know, in the heart of a great historic neighborhood. And so that's going to be the what we are calling the Portland Stroll District, and that'll be kind of the anchor tenant near Annie's Pizza.
Wow. Well, it's really amazing because, you know, I was here and I talked to you among the first tours of the Green Building. It's a really phenomenal building. It's brought a lot of positive reflection of positive national media into Louisville, just that building and then all the things that sprung up around it. I mean, I've heard people talk about it. Is this just are you doing the same thing over again in a different part of town?
The development of Portland is going to be a lot different than the development of New Louis Market District. You know, there's different challenges. There's still 30 to 40,000 cars that go past the Green Building every day leaving town, you know, using East Market Street as the highway to get out of downtown, going back to the East End. So people knew where East Market District was. They just didn't necessarily want to stop their cars. A lot of people literally do not know where Portland neighborhood is. And it's right there. It's closer to the mayor's office than Lulu is. So I'm just like, let's just break down that 9th Street barrier and get people. And once people go over there, they're like, this is great. Yep. You know, there's lots of families. There's lots of, you know, good, hardworking people. It's a diverse, you know, urban environment. It's, you know, there's lots of different kinds of people all living together.
Yeah, it's really amazing. And I would encourage, you know, it was great that it so happened that the mayor's hike and bike went through Portland this weekend. You know, 3,000 people on their bikes, you know, you see an area a lot differently if you're going that slow and see what's going on. And there really is a lot to speak for what's going on there. The things that most people, or I wouldn't say most, but a lot of people have no idea is going on. And so, but you're,
and then, you know, that's one of the challenges or opportunities we have with Portland is just getting the positive stories out there about all the assets. The Portland Museum, you know, there's over 400 businesses in the Portland neighborhood. There's between 11 and 17,000 people, depending on what census report you read. So there's all these good things. There's artists living there. There's startup businesses, a lot of good things. And for a long time, the media has kind of led with some of the negative stories. So there's this connotation.
Well, there, you know, and yes, there's crime down there, and you do see reports. So there's some image cleanup, I guess, to do in Portland. But you know, you moving your stuff there is one thing. I mean, it's amazing to me because you know your offices at the Green Building are so nice, and you're packing up and you're going to drive farther. And I know you're here today because you're in between, like, picking up kids from school and all that. So it's
remarkably, Portland is remarkably close, though, if you think about that 22nd Street exit off the highway. It's almost the same amount of time for me to get to the Portland office as it is to get to the Green Building.
Right. Well, let me ask you a bit, just to switch gears a minute. I mentioned, you have all these activities going on, and it seems like you're the most accessible, busy person I've ever known. And you have this family you're raising right here in the city. How do you tell me about your how you squeeze in family life? And every time I go to an opening or a public event, well, there's Gil. He's over there. You were at the Potter's Field movie the other night that I've talked about on the show. So, you know, how do you schedule it all in?
Well, you pick and choose, and you try to find a balance. I, you know, try to walk Cora to first grade every day, and then I let the twins scooter to Highland Prez for their 5-day threes and fours class that just started yesterday.
And so, for our listeners that don't know you, how old are your kids?
Right, so almost four-year-old twins and a 6.5-year-old, and got, you know, had emergency trip to the dentist yesterday and took her there, and she had two teeth pulled. Tooth fairy came, so you know my responsibilities as a parent are paramount and just fun. So you know you just have to be more efficient and balance things and pick and choose what you do. So there are actually very few nights where I do anything between 6 and 8 p.m. Potter's Field there was an opportunity to do three things. I gave two talks and went to the Potter's Field, which I worked on. I made it for the Q&A, so that was one or two times a month that I will miss bed books and bet then with the kids.
Well, that's great. Well, like I said, I'm a great admirer of all the things you do, Gil. But let's talk for a minute about New Lou, because you're not abandoning New Lou in any way. Tell me, first of all, I'm curious who gets in the green building when you leave. and secondly, just the overall development of Nulu, what's the future might hold for that?
All right, well, there's lots of exciting things afoot in Nulu. We have the Nulu Fest coming up here. I don't know when the show airs, but September 28th. And we're combining forces with the Maker Fair, F-A-I-R-E. So there's going to be a mechanical ride on East Market Street. Wow. We're expanding it a whole block. There's going to be 60 extra booths of inventors and makers, people that make cool, funky stuff. All the booths are sold out for the first time ever in the six-year history of Nulu Festival. Last year we had 8,000 people, so we're expecting over 10,000 this year. It's the closing night party for Idea Festival. There are rumors slash hopes that a $35 million hotel is moving into Nulu, which is...
well, I'd love to have
haven't done a press release yet, but it's looking pretty good. We're talking to some grocery stores about a grocery store. There's a new furniture store moving in. There's... You know, you look at Nulu and a lot of people are like, oh, there's 11 restaurants, it's done. And I'm like, it's really only halfway there if you look at all the underutilized and empty space.
Well, it seems to me like, and I'm interested in your opinion on this, this wasn't prepared or anything, but when I moved in April, I was looking for a place to live down there. I was basically unhappy with the selection. I ended up being out in the East End. But residential, it seems to be... one stumbling block, and grocery stores seems to be another. And tell me, is there anything afoot to change that?
Right. Well, the Downtown Development Corporation has done they paid for a grocery store study, and the study showed clearly there is a need for a grocery store downtown, and they specifically said the Nulu neighborhood would be a great place for it. And I was actually late to this podcast because I was talking to the head of DDC about that very issue. So, you know, I do think it's a little bit of chicken and egg. Once Liberty Green is filled up with 2,000 people, then obviously you need a grocery store. So the timing for a grocery store, I think, is important too, because right now, maybe the 2,000 people stop, two of the 30,000 people in their cars stop. When do they stop? When do all those people live, move in? When does Bill Whalen finish that project? So a lot of questions, but it's definitely all happening. It's a great neighborhood, walkable, great neighborhood.
Well, the next time I move... Downtown in Nulu.
Yeah, there, and there it is. And we need a lot more apartments and condos in the Nulu area.
Yeah, they really do. That's exactly what I was looking for and unable to find. So lastly, I'm going to let you go, but I'd love to hear what you always have an interesting movie project. I remember fondly going to see the premiere of The Adventures of Power, which.
Classic.
A classic movie. That was really something. But
Jane Lynch, the then unknown Jane Lynch, is now super famous from Glee.
Yeah,
that's the great thing about indie film. You never know who you're working with is going to be a superstar.
All right, so what's the next thing? What's the next big thing?
The exciting thing is there's a filmmaker, Milan Chakraborty, who I met at Sundance, who had a film with Kristen Bell called Lifeguard. And I kind of convinced him to come shoot his film here in October. So he has a film called Produce, and it is a great, heartwarming, inspirational story about a washed-up pro baseball player returning to his hometown, finding kind of redemption in the friendship with a... kid with Down syndrome. Really nice script. I'm super excited to see what kind of cast he gets, and then we're submitting three films to Sundance, and hopefully one or two or get selected.
Now, the last thing I remember, and we'll conclude with this, because I'm sure our listeners would love to see this, because the film about tennis that was filmed entirely,
right,
almost entirely in Louisville. What happened to that, and can listeners find that?
All right. So Second Serve. Good Timing just came out last week, so you can get it on Amazon, Blockbuster, Kmart, lots of different places. We don't have our iTunes release date yet. They're a little backlogged, and we haven't gotten our Netflix release date yet, but it is out on DVD, $10.99 on Amazon.com.
Yeah, well, it's
and,
great.
And Wild and Woolly, you know, go there first, obviously,
sure.
Support your local business.
Well, I can tell you that it's always fascinating to see a film that's filmed in your hometown, and I know it was at the Boat Club and the
Jewish Community Center. We shot in near El Mundo. We shot in Butchertown. We shot at Whitehall. We shot lots of great locations.
So the movie's about tennis. It's
Waterfront Park.
It's got a neat script and
Second Serve.
You get to watch, see a lot of things that will be familiar to you if you pick that up. That's good to know. I didn't know before I asked you that My timing was so good.
And you should actually bring James Markert, who wrote it and is a soon-to-be best-selling author, has a great book called The White Wind Blue that's out, and you should get him to come talk to you on this show.
Well, I'd love to. I'd love suggestions. So, well, anyway, Gil, I've gone way over my time limit, but you're just such a fascinating guest. I really appreciate you coming into the Highlands and being on the Louisville.am network and the Rusty Satellite Show. And thanks again, Gil. I really appreciate you coming in.
Thanks, Rick.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment.
Learn about the movers and shakers in the Louisville business scene with Startup, Conversations with Louisville Entrepreneurs. A new episode every Tuesday at Louisville.am.
I have a wonderful guest with me right now because I have an interest in theater and actors theater in particular. Through the years, I've been going to and reviewing several of the performances at Actors, and it's always entertaining. It's always talented performers, talented directors, etc. Today I have Kirsty Gockel, who is involved in Actors Theater. I'm not sure exactly what your title is, Kirsty, and welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Well, and your role over there is what?
I am the public relations manager.
Okay. So you're responsible for getting media people like me into the show. Right?
Exactly. Exactly.
We're very grateful to that. I've been to a lot of shows over the years. I understand this one that starts this week. There's a show called Noises Off that is starting Actors Theater. It says right here on this fine press release you wrote. Louisville's 50th anniversary season is Noises Off. And I know that the title and what's going to be really interesting to all the people out there, it has the word sex in it.
Well, you know, they say it sells. So, we're kicking off our 50th anniversary season. So this is a really important year for Actors Theatre in our history, 50 years being a part of this community here in Louisville. And what a better way to start the season with truly one of the funniest plays ever written about theatre. This is a play that is essentially a play within a play.
Okay.
It is a play about a troupe of rather manic theater professionals who are on tour together putting on a British sex farce called Nothing On.
There it was, folks.
Yep.
Sex. Right there. It's in the play.
It is. So, and really the story is all about all the drama that happens to this troupe as they are performing this play both on stage and off stage. So if you can imagine, imagine like a theater version of The Office. So these troupe of actors have been touring together for a while. There's, varying degrees of ability, shall we say, within the troupe. It's truly just a hilarious, hilarious play. The audience, when they first come in, get to see this group of actors in rehearsal for the show called Nothing On. They then get to see the show open. This is particularly great about this show is the size of the set. The set, when people come in, is, two levels. It's the inside of this house where this farce is happening. And then during the second act of the play, the entire set revolves. So the whole set is on this revolve and exposes the backstage area. So that you then get to see the actors performing Nothing On, but get to see all the backstage antics. So, all those kind of miscues, those like last minute, grab for props, and you get to see, all the little kind of relationship kind of goings on that happen between the various characters. So a lot of mistaken identities, entrances and exits, slamming doors, many jokes about sardines.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's a really, really entertaining comedy.
And there's nudity, of course, right?
There is no nudity.
Oh, darn it.
No.
Just kidding around with you.
This is very clean, wholesome fun for the family.
So I can take my kids. I thought because it had sex in it, it was an adult-oriented thing, but kids are welcome.
Kids are welcome, and we do have a couple of student matinees for it, so I think like high school students are perfectly aged for it.
Well, very cool. And just to get some details out of the way, go ahead and give me the dates and how you get tickets, all that.
Yeah,
all that
absolutely.
Stuff.
So the Noises Off opens tonight, Thursday, and it runs through September 22nd. And you can get tickets by calling our box office at 502-584-1205 or going online to actorstheater.org.
Okay, well, great. It sounds great. I know I always try to make as many of the the performances I can. I've taken my son, who's now 15, to several of them, and he's really enjoyed them too. So, but you mentioned 50 years of Actors Theater, and you certainly haven't been a part of Louisville and Actors Theater for 50 years.
Certainly not.
Now, tell me about you, because I love your accent, and where, tell us where
Scottish,
you hail from.
My Scottish southern drawl.
Yeah, because you ain't from around here.
Well, according to my mother, I'm sounding more and more like I'm from around here. Yeah, so I'm originally from Edinburgh, Scotland.
Okay.
Yeah, this is, I moved to Louisville specifically to take this job at Actors Theatre. Okay. Yeah, so I started out my career in Edinburgh. Growing up in Edinburgh is obviously an incredible place for anyone's familiar. We have an amazing festival season in addition to a really vibrant cultural scene throughout the year. And I started off my career in Edinburgh, working both the Fringe Festival. And then after I graduated from university, I had an opportunity to do an internship, actually at Trinity Repertory Theatre, which is a theatre in Rhode Island.
Okay.
So I went there and spent a season there. And when I returned to Scotland and did a number of jobs in the media, always predominantly in PR and marketing for non-profit performing arts organizations.
Okay, and you moved to Louisville how long ago?
This will be my third year, well, going into my fourth season actor, so 3 years. Derby weekend is actually my anniversary in Louisville.
Oh.
That was a pretty great time of year to arrive in the city. Yeah, so my husband's from America, so after being at Trinity, I spent a little bit of time living in New York, was back in Scotland, spent 18 months living in Cincinnati, and then moved down to here for this job.
Well, what's your, we're always interested here in town as natives of what people from out of town think of us. So what is the big thing you think about Louisville, or the biggest surprise you've had in terms of living here for 3 years?
The biggest surprise for me is certainly for being a smallish town. I'd come from living in predominantly pretty large metropolitan cities, was just the diversity and the eclecticness of the city. I think the amount of green space is absolutely phenomenal. And to have access to as many arts organizations, you know, through the ballet, the orchestra, you know, Broadway series, the touring, all the different art galleries, and then the smaller, kind of storefront theatre that's, you know, popping up with like the Bardstown and Theatre 502, the Pentamine. I think it's incredible that you have such a rich diversity of cultural here, at the same time having a really amazing quality of life. I mean, to me, that's, you could have this like perfect balance, mm-hmm, of being immediately out in Jefferson.
And you live, I don't want your address, but what part of town?
I live in Butchertown.
In Butchertown.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, that's, you know, that was a great area to live and be so close to, you know, everything that's happening in the new world. Yeah, and it's a party time. That it didn't surprise me, but having lived in some other parts of the States, it surprised me, you know, a little bit. People like to have a good time here, and
that is definitely true, and certainly that's a big part of enjoying your life. I wanted to ask you also about another question about actors, and you know, we've seen in this community some of the arts organizations have had their struggles financially, et cetera.
Sure.
Actors, you know, it has this big national reputation, especially for the Humana Festival in the spring. How is, you know, what can we expect in this 50th year? And is actors doing well enough financially to obviously it's not going to go anywhere, but does it struggle, you know?
I mean, I think all non-for-profits, are certainly vying for funding, both through, you know, grants, government sources, individual, corporate. And I think that what really has kept Actors Theatre, you know, in really good stead is we have an amazing board of directors, and we have really strong fiscal governance. Managing director Jennifer Bielstein and through our artistic director Les Waters. I mean, we just have this leadership that's really, you know, when the economy kind of plummeted a few years ago, they took really smart strategic steps to deal with that in an organizational level. And just, I think that's, you know, that's been a really important move. It's something you can never take your eye off working, mm-hmm, in a nonprofit, regardless, I think, the size of it. And I think that we produce a lot. I mean, we produce a lot of shows, and you can look at other theaters around the country, and we're there. We're you know, in terms of the amount that we're producing, we're leading the way. I mean, in addition to our season of plays, and as you just mentioned, we have the Humana Festival of New American Plays, where we're premiering, you know, up to 10 world premieres every single year. And no one else is competing in terms of what we're producing.
So, like, I know that Noises Off starts this month, and what, how often do we have new plays up leading up to the Humana Festival, which I guess is in what, March or April? You have other performances. Anything else that we should really mark our calendars and look forward to?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. We have a really, you know, really strong season this year. So up next on the Pamela Brown stage is a play called The Mountaintop. It's a contemporary play. It's written by a contemporary playwright called Katori Hall. And it's a really powerful play. It's a Olivier Award-winning drama about leadership, legacy, and mortality. And it takes the hotel, Martin Luther King, and a maid. It's a conversation between a maid and Martin Luther King, a fictional conversation, as, you know, things may have transpired in the hotel room in Lorraine Motel the night before of Martin Luther King's assassination.
Wow. That sounds fascinating. All right, we're running out of time. I want to put you on the spot one time. So I got my answer for this, but, you know, you've been here 3 years. What's the most memorable play that you've seen at Actors Theatre since you've been here?
Wow, you've totally turned me on this one. This is really hard.
While you're thinking, I'll tell you that my favorite, I took my son Luke to, and we still talk about it. It's the wrestling one with
the elaborate entrance of Chad Davey.
Yeah, that was just memorable, fascinating,
that was definitely
unique.
Phenomenal.
The performances were really strong. The message, the underlying message, mm-hmm. was just amazing to me. And it just hit me. It was a perfect thing to take, you know, my son to.
Yeah.
And, really enjoyed it. So,
yeah.
I've given you 10 seconds
I've given
to
seconds.
Think.
Now. Okay, so I'm going to say Girlfriend. Girlfriend was a play we just did last season. It involved having a live band, rock band, live on stage. It was set to the music, Matthew Sweet's album, Girlfriend. And it was this cute little tale between these two boys who were teenagers growing up in Nebraska. And they fell in love. And it was just this most moving, powerful, super fun, you know, with the most amazing music and the most amazing energy on stage.
Okay, great. Well, you passed the test. You answered that.
Thank you.
We have used up, we're not really on a timer here at the Rusty Satellite Show podcast, but I want to thank you, Kirstie, for coming by. And
thank you for having me.
Appreciate you inviting me, members of the media, to review these plays. I'm really looking forward to Noises Off this week and everything else that's coming.
Well, we appreciate the support.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.
Robin is shooting.